have your Bibles tonight. Esther, it's a very unique book, just 9 chapters. We're in chapter 5 tonight. I want to draw your attention. This book is about the way God takes care of us. And I want you to be able to see that tonight. If you have your Bible, Esther chapter 5. But I would like for you to take your Bible and keep your finger there and turn, if you would, to Romans. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8. I want you to see really sort of a key verse that ties in with Esther. Romans chapter 8. And I want you to notice, if you would, we're going to see this tonight. You'll see it in a unique way. Romans chapter 8. And verse number 28, Romans 8, 28, famous verse. It is misused a lot of times, but notice what it says. And we know, Christians, people know the Lord, written to the Christians at Rome. We know that all things work together for good. Now, people, stop right there. We know that everything works together for good. Well, that's not true. But it does say, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. That's the key to it. So if you have a love for the Lord, then the Lord says, I'll make everything work out for your benefit. Now, sometimes if you've ever been corrected, and maybe you're a child growing up and you got spanked or put in the corner or you had to sit in your chair, you didn't think that was for your benefit. I can remember one time I was riding my bike, and I rode out in the street, and my dad told me not to ride out in the street, and I got a spanking for it. And he said, son, I want you to understand something. This is for your good. I didn't believe a word of it. But I did understand later when I realized whenever my son is riding his bicycle, make sure that you don't ride in the street because it's dangerous. I didn't think at all. I just took my bike, rode it right into the street, and a guy came up behind me and started honking at me. And, of course, my dad was there. And that sort of paid attention. Hey, dad, look, your son's in the street. Hey, dad, your son's in. The guy wouldn't let off his horn, you know. So I just got killed. That's all you can say. But I learned my lesson. Don't ride your bicycle in the street. And I'm 68. I still don't do it. I'm trying to be careful with it. But I want you to understand, you learn a lesson. Now, if you have your Bible, notice, if you would, he says that everything works together for good to them that love God and to those that are called according to his purpose. Every Christian is called according to his purpose. The question is, do we follow it? Now, notice, if you have, we're going to see that tonight, Esther chapter 5. Let me catch you up. If you're new tonight, let me catch you up with a story. At the very beginning of the book, Ahasuerus, who's king of the Medes and Persians. Now, if you've ever heard anything about Medes and Persians, what's one thing that they're known for? The law of the Medes and Persians. Anybody know what that is? It's a law that can't be changed. In other words, every one of their laws were permanent and could not be changed. So they were known for that. When they made a law, it was permanent. Now, if you remember in the book of Daniel, Daniel was thrown in the lion's den because the law was made that you couldn't pray for 30 days to anybody but the king, Darius. Now, Darius was considered to be a god, so you could only pray to God Darius. Well, they were trying to get Daniel killed. So they got Darius to make a law that you couldn't pray to anybody but him for 30 days. And of course, it puffed him up. He said, that sounds like a good idea. But he forgot about Daniel. And he knew that Daniel was going to pray to his God no matter what. And that's the way Christians ought to be. We ought to have a time when we talk to the Lord regularly, every day. And it doesn't matter what rule the government makes. If the government made a rule and said you can't pray for 30 days, well, I'm going to ignore it. And you and most Christians do the same thing because I'm going to talk with the Lord. So all of a sudden he finds out, oh my goodness, they came to him and said, you made this law and Daniel's got to be thrown in the lion's den. And he tried all night, got with his attorneys, but he couldn't change the law. And that's why Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. So even the king himself couldn't change his own law. So notice, if you would, in the book of Esther, Ahasuerus is having a big party. And when I say a big party, something like you and I've never seen. He had a party that lasted for 6 months. And daily. He was partying. And he had thousands of people there. Sometimes it's been noted throughout history, 15,000 would come and party for 6 months. So can you imagine what that costs? Well, the idea is that I'm a wealthy king and look what I can do. Well, at the end of those that period of time, he had a beautiful wife. And she was the queen. And so he decided that he would have Vashti come and he would let everybody ooh and aah how beautiful she was. And she was having her own party with all the women of all the men that were there. So she had thousands of people and she had the palace. And I don't know where Ahasuerus had his, but she decided, I'm having a good time with the ladies. I'm not coming. And his leaders that he sent to get his wife and ask her to come, they came back and said, she's not coming. Well, it embarrassed him in front of 15,000 of his friends. So he didn't know what to do. So he decided he was going to punish her in some way, shape, or form. So he gets his higher leaders together and said, what should we do? And they said, well, she's shamed you and embarrassed you in front of your friends. Tell you what, do just get rid of her and take all of her money and give it to somebody else. But I tell you what you should do. Let us find you a beautiful wife from every beautiful woman in the world, because it was a worldwide kingdom, 127 provinces. He said, oh, I like that. So they start going around trying to find the most beautiful women in the world at that point in time. And they went to every nook and cranny. Now, understand, he thinks it's because his wife didn't honor him in front of his friends. But in reality, it's God knows that Haman is going to try to destroy all the Jews, going to try to destroy them all. And so God is preparing for this welfare and the safety of the Jewish nation. Nobody knows that except God. So they go through and they look for all these beautiful women, and it comes down to these women. And if you could picture in your mind, these women have got all kinds of plumes and they've got all kinds of robes, and they have done everything in the world to make themselves beautiful. And here comes Esther, and she required nothing. She just had a beautiful robe, a beautiful dress on, and she walked in, and the king, everybody went, oh my, how beautiful is she? But then he talked with her and found out she was sweet and pleasant. And he said, oh my, I want her to be the queen. Now, he didn't know, but she was a Jew. Mordecai, her uncle, took her in for his own home because her father and mother had been killed or died. She had no place to go, so Mordecai took her in. Well, Haman was promoted to prime minister of the Medes and Persians, right underneath Ahasuerus. He liked Haman. And so Haman one day was walking through the gate after Esther's made queen. The country's back to normal now. And nobody knows that Esther's a Jew. And Haman walks by the gate, and Mordecai is sitting at the gate. And Mordecai, everybody bows at the prime minister, but Mordecai can't. Anybody know why Mordecai can't? Anybody know? As a Jewish person, he only could worship the Lord. And that's the way it is with Christians. We can only worship the Lord. We don't worship all the different gods of the world and just add Jesus Christ to it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so when you fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and you put him in the king of your life, you can't fall down and worship all these other gods. And so it made Haman so mad that he said, I'm not going to just get rid of Mordecai. He knew he was a Jew because that's why he couldn't bow. He said, it's against my religion for me to bow to men. I can only bow to the God of heaven, Jehovah. He said, I'm not only going to get rid of him, I'm going to get rid of every Jew in the world. Now, can anybody tell me who's behind that? The old devil is. The devil himself. And that's what's been happening there. You see what happened with Hitler. Same thing. It's been happening over the centuries. And for 2,000 years, there was no Jewish nation. But if you go back and read the scriptures in Ezekiel and different places, it says that I'm going to make my people, the Jewish nation, who are God's people and his own choosing, I'm going to make them a nation again. Only time in history it's ever happened that someone of the nation has been dispersed for thousands of years and became back in a country. And now they have their own country. Now, all of a sudden, here's Haman, and he goes into the king and he wants to destroy them. So what he does is he offers him 2/3 of the national income. So Haman is filthy rich. He offers him 2/3 of the national income if he can just kill all the Jewish people. And thereby he would get rid of Mordecai for not bowing. So that's the storyline. And God says, I know that Haman's going to try to do this. So what I'm going to do is put someone in place to protect my people. Now we're going to get to the story in chapter 4. Notice if you would, we'll catch up with it. Mordecai in chapter 4 says to his adopted daughter, Esther, notice if you would in verse number 13, then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou holdest thy peace at this time, then their enlargement and deliverance will arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And then he makes a great statement. He says, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Esther, do you not realize that you've been made queen probably for this time to protect us, your people? And so there's a rule in the Persian court that the king sits in his royal court and he doesn't want to be disturbed. So no one can come in without permission unless he asks him to come in. If you came in to ask the king a question, he had a scepter in his hand. If he didn't acknowledge you, they took you out and hung you, or took you out and cut your head off. No tolerance. So Esther had not seen the king for 30 days. Mordecai says, you've got to go see the king and ask him to spare our lives, because Ahasuerus didn't realize what Haman was doing, and he didn't realize it was the Jewish nation that he was trying to destroy. And so Haman had set it up. These people are diverse from all other people. They don't worship you. They don't worship God. They have this weird God they worship. And so we need to get rid of them. He said, okay, I'll take the money and you can have the people. Well, Mordecai says, Esther, you've got to go to the king and plead for our lives. And Esther said, I haven't been called in for 30 days. I don't know what to do. If I go in there and he doesn't recognize me, I'm a dead person. I'm a dead queen. And that's when Mordecai says, who knows, but you were brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. So Esther, being a godly young lady, says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Now notice, if you would, Roman number 1, the outline. Look at the queen and her godly plan. That's the first blank. Look at the queen and her godly plan. A, she dressed up to look her best for the king. She knew the king was going to look through the court and see her. And so she wanted to look her very best to help draw favor. Notice B, by God's grace, she obtained the favor of the king. Look, if you would, and this is Esther chapter 5 and verse 1. And it came to pass on the third day that Esther put her royal apparel on. Now, pause for a minute. Does anybody know what Esther decided to do with her plan? In other words, before she went into the king, she decided to do something, get her friends to do something. What was it? Anybody know? Patrick? Pray and fast for 3 days. We're not going to eat anything or drink anything. We're just going to pray and try to gain God's attention. That's a very scriptural thing. If you fast and pray, it causes the Lord to see that there's something more important than food to you. That's what fasting means. There's something more important than eating. And eating is life to us. And so she said, look, all of my friends, if you'll fast and pray with me for 3 days, then I'll go into the king and whatever happens, happens. Notice what she says, chapter 4, in verse number 16. Notice the words, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan. That's the palace, that's the city. And fast ye for me and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. He could kill me for it. And if I perish, I perish. So would you pray with me? Now, she handled everything right. And many times we've learned here, you could see that if you have a great burden, something that's a great difficulty on you, you could do the same thing. So I'm going to fast and pray for a while. I remember Jeremy and I, whenever his mom had an eye problem, couldn't see, and we were fasting and praying that the surgery would be a success, that she would be able to get her eyesight back. She had diabetic retinopathy, and her eye filled up with blood, and they did this surgery and did some things to it and put a patch on her eye. And one morning, took her to the doctor, and they said, well, we'll take the patch off and see if you can see. And so we'd been fasting and praying, Lord, please, would you grant her sight? And I'll never forget her words. She looked up and saw, you know, that sign on the wall. Said, wow, that's a big E. Man, I mean, tears started coming down my cheeks. And I don't know what Jeremy, when we called him and talked to him, he kind of choked up. But the Lord answered. And so I don't know that you'd fast and pray over a utility bill necessarily. But you might if you don't have the money for it. So Esther gets all of her friends together and say, fast and pray for me, and I'll go in. So now you're caught up with a story. And so notice in verse number 1 of chapter 5, now it came to pass on the third day. So they fasted and prayed for 3 days. Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat over on his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. So if you can picture, he's sitting on his royal throne. He can see through the doors and he can see out in the inner court. And here comes someone that is dressed up beautifully. And he can see, and he sees it's Queen Esther. And notice it was, verse 2. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained favor in his sight. That's an answer to their prayer. That favor, you can pray that you gain favor in the eyes of your boss or in the eyes of a neighbor. You can pray, Lord, would you give me favor? And it may be you can fill in the blank. If there's a difficulty between you and someone, you can say, Lord, would you grant me favor in that person's sight? That's exactly what she did. Only the difference is her life was on the line. We need to learn to fast and pray from time to time with issues that come up. Well, you'll notice, if you would, in the outline, see, the king was so impressed by her grace and beauty that he offered her up to half of his kingdom. I mean, you're talking about being smitten. Wow. Notice what he says in verse 3. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be given thee to the half of the kingdom. He was blown away. Well, that's the way God works in the heart of people. The Bible says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. We've seen that ourselves as a church family when we went to the Board of Supervisors and God changed their hearts and gave us our place, our new place. We saw that happen. Very clearly. Well, you'll notice, if you would, D in the outline. She wanted the king's favor so she could only ask for him and Haman to come to a banquet. She wanted to prepare. So she wanted to prepare a banquet. And you know, if you want to reach a guy's heart, you can do it with good food. That's usually the way it is, I think. And so here she's Bart. She says, I'm going to fix a banquet for Haman. And I'm going to fix a banquet for the old king. And so notice, if you would, then she would beg for her life and her people's lives. Notice E in the outline. They both came to her meal, and God changed her heart to ask for another meal to be the next day. Now, this is very unusual. So she prepares a banquet, and they come to the banquet, and he says, okay, O queen, what is your request? Notice what happens. in verse number 4. And Esther answered, if it seemed good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. So she knew that he was going to ask her, what would you like? And so she prepared a big banquet. I mean, she's got everything ready. Now, if you wanted to go to a banquet and you wanted to have your favorite meal, what would it be? Lobster? Filet mignon? Subway? I don't know. What would you like, your favorite meal? But the idea was she fixed his favorite meal, had it all there ready. And so notice that what happens in verse number 5. Verse number 6. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? And it should be granted thee, and what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it should be performed. So he again repeats to her, look, I'll give you up to half of everything in the kingdom, all that I own. You can have half of it. What is your request, Esther? So she's got him the palm of her hand. And she doesn't realize it, but she's terrified because she's fixing to ask for her life and the life of the people that the law is written, it can't be changed. She doesn't know how he's going to fix it. So she's pleading for mercy. Well, notice if you would, in the outline, now they both came to the meal and God changed their heart, okay? This is not a good day. I don't know what happened. Maybe the king wasn't in a very good mood. It sounds like he was. But the Lord was working in her heart to ask for an extra day because he wanted the king to realize that Mordecai had protected his life. And the king didn't remember that. So it's almost like the Lord could see that and said, Esther, ask for another day. So notice what happens in verse number 7. Then answered Esther and said, my petition and my request is, if I found favor in the sight of the king and if it pleased the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king has said. I'll do it tomorrow. Well, that wasn't her plan. Anybody ever had a plan in order and all of a sudden something happens, you just change, you just feel like in your heart, I got to do something different. Well, that happened to Esther. What she didn't know was that God was preparing the heart of the king to honor Mordecai. And the king didn't realize that Mordecai was the one who was trying, Haman wanted to kill. So notice, if you would, in verse number 9. Then went Haman forth that day joyful and with a glad heart. Well, why wouldn't he? He's been asked to a banquet with only the king and the queen to come. He is somebody special. That would be like you and I being asked to come to the White House to meet with the president and his wife and nobody else. I mean, just the honor of that. Would you come and have a meal with us, my wife and I? We're going to prepare a big meal. My wife is. I just want you to come with me. Just you. Just me? Just me. Well, so Haman, he's just bloated up with excitement. So notice what happens in verse number 9. Then went Haman forth that day joyful with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. So he walks by the gate again. There's Mordecai. He won't bow. Oh. Notice what he does. He controls himself. And he goes straight home. Look what he does. Verse number 10. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself. He didn't lose it. And when he came home, he sent and called for his friends, Zeresh and his wife. Now, understand, 11. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children, all the things wherein the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the princes and all the servants of the king. He's prime minister. In verse 12, and Haman said, moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself. And tomorrow am I invited unto her also with the king for another banquet. Am I not special? So he is just lifted up with pride. Verse 13. Yet all this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. I want him dead. Anybody here ever had a great blessing? The Lord blessed you, and all of a sudden you saw someone that maybe you have some bitterness toward, and it just turns you. Bitterness will ruin your heart. You have to protect your heart from bitterness. You have to learn to forgive people, even if they don't deserve it. You have to learn to pray for your enemies and those that despitefully use you. We have to learn to step over it. Haman was so bitter toward the Jews because of Mordecai not bowing. He felt it was a direct assault on him. And when Mordecai explained, he says, I'm a Jew. I can't worship any man. I can only worship my God. I don't care. Notice the outline. Room number one, E1, God knew Haman was going to build gallows and wanted to hang Mordecai on his gallows. God needed one more night to show the king how faithful Mordecai was to the king. She was going to ask, this is three, she was going to ask the king to spare her people at that meal. Now, two in the outline, you're going to see, look at Haman and his wicked heart. He was so proud of himself that he became indignant at Mordecai when he did not bow to him. One, Mordecai couldn't bow and please his God. He was restricted because of his trust in the Lord. Haman didn't care what the reason was. I don't care what you think about your God. I'm the prime minister. You bow to me. B, he bragged on himself to his wife and friends. See, his wife joined in Haman's indignation and gave him terrible advice to build the gallows in his own yard and hang Mordecai for his insolence. So he comes home, we just read it. He speaks to everybody. He says, I just can't live with it, walking by the king's gate and all the blessings that I've received and how I'm honored by the king, and I'm going to a banquet tomorrow, and I don't know what to do, and I'm just angry about it. And notice what happens, verse 14. Then said Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high. Now, this is 75 feet high. You can see this all over the city. 75 feet high is 7.5 stories. And I tell you, you're trying to make a point when you make a set of gallows 7.5 stories high to hang one man on. Well, notice if you would. And speak, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou and merrily with the king unto the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. He has them made in one day. Boy, don't you know that was a task. And so he's all ready to go into the king. And so when God sees this, that's why God in advance asked Esther, ask for one more day. I know what Haman's going to do. Now, do you understand? God knows what's going to happen in your life tomorrow too. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day being before. Proverbs 27:1. The Lord says, I see tomorrow, you don't, and I'm watching out for you. If you love the Lord, if you're one of his children, he said, I'm watching out for you. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delighteth in his way. Psalm 37. So the Lord is saying, look, I'm watching out for you. I love you. If you really love me, I've got your back. Now, the fact of the matter is the Lord does protect people that don't love him. Where did all the blessings come from? Haman. If you have your Bible, keep your finger in this passage in Esther, but turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, if you would. Notice this passage. James 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift, this is James 1, 17, right in the back of your Bible. Every good gift, did you get that? Every good gift. And every perfect thing is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, God is the author of every good thing that's ever happened into your life, whether you're saved or unsaved. Now, God moves heaven and earth for the saved that love him. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior and you've fallen in love with the Lord Jesus, he says, I'll take care of you. I'll order every step. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. God says, I go before you. I know what tomorrow holds. And I'll protect you from Haman. And everybody in this room's got a Haman in your life. All of us do. And God says, I'm watching out for you. And you and I sometimes don't understand why certain things happen. And God says, I need one more day. So I want you to notice now, if you go back to Esther chapter 5, verse number 14, we'll look in chapter 6, verse 1 and see what happens. And this is the key I want you to get tonight, that God always is watching out for you. If you are saved, you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you love the Lord. And notice, if you would, verse 1, chapter 6. On that night, could not the king sleep. The Lord keeps the king up. And so he's struggling to go to sleep. I guess he didn't take his Zequil or melatonin or I don't know what it was. But he couldn't sleep. Notice what happens. And so he commanded to bring the book of the records of the chronicles. Okay, go get the chronicles. So-and-so begat so-and-so. The new baby was born such and such. And so anybody ever done that before? Count sheep? That's what he did. Go get the chronicles. Okay, that's good. And Bigthan and Teresh tried to kill the king. What? And Mordecai turned them in and protected the king. King says, what? Read it with me. Verse 2. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlain, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay a hand on the king Ahasuerus. So Bigthana and Teresh were plotting murder of the king. And Mordecai heard about it. And Mordecai told the authorities. They took those two men out and killed them, hung them. And it was written in the chronicles. Does anybody know who it was written by? Anybody know who God put in the chronicles? Esther. So God used Esther to prepare Mordecai, and then God keeps the king up that very night after Esther asked for one more day. Come tomorrow and I'll prepare another banquet for you. Do you see the Lord's hand moving? It happens all the time. Anybody ever been driving and for some reason you moved over a lane and all of a sudden something happens in front of you? The Lord says, I got you. I'm watching out for you. Anybody ever maybe got held up about something and you got in your car and went, and 5 minutes before about the time you were late, there's an accident in front of you? Anybody ever had that happen? Something like that to you? Well, you know what? The Lord's watching out for you. If you're saved and you love the Lord. Now, just understand in verse number three, and the king said, keep in mind, he's up awake, he can't sleep, and the Lord is the author of that. The Lord's got the heart of the king in his hand. So notice in verse 3, and the king said, what honor and dignity has been done to Mordecai for this? Hey, what's been done good for Mordecai to spare the life of the king? And then said the king's servant that ministered unto him, there's nothing been done for him. What? And about that time, Haman walks in. Now watch in verse number 4. Now this is during early morning hours. Early. Because the king's been up listening to the chronicles being read, trying to go to sleep. And the king said, who's in the court? Somebody's in the court. So apparently Haman didn't have much fear of the law of dying. So he comes into the court to ask for Mordecai to be hung on his gallows he's just made. Now Haman was come into the inner court, outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. I got a question for him. So Haman comes in. He's about ready to say, king, can I hang Mordecai on my gallows? He is a disruptive. Before he can get the words out, the king said, I got a question for you. He said, okay. He said, how do you think if I wanted to honor somebody, I mean, really honor them, how do you think I should do it? Haman, in his mind, says, keep him out. What does pride do? Well, he's probably going to honor me. Well, I do what I think you should do. I think you get the king's horse that everybody knows that's the king's horse and put him on the king's horse. And you ought to get the king's royal robe and you ought to have somebody go before him and say, hey, this is what happens to someone when the king wants to honor you. Notice what happens. Verse 7. And Haman answered the king, for unto the man whom the Lord delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the royal crown royal which is set on his head. Let him put the king's crown on. Boy, do you see? I mean, Haman thinks, that's going to be me. Everybody's going to look at me and say, wow, he's got the king's horse, his robe, and his crown. Haman is something. And Ahasuerus says, that's a great idea. Haman, go get Mordecai and honor him. Oh my, can you imagine? All of this because God touched Esther's heart. Give me one more day. I don't understand, Lord. I've already got the banquet prepared, but okay, Lord. Come back tomorrow, king. I'll prepare another banquet for you. That night, the king's over there, can't sleep. Read the Chronicles to me. Let me count sheep. Give me the figures of all the bills in the country, and I'll try to, maybe I can go to sleep then. And then he heard about Mordecai sparing his life. Now notice what happens in verse number 9. Let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes. And so Haman is still egging it on. Let it be one of the greatest princes that the king's got. Let him lead the horse. And he says, that's a great idea, Haman, you lead the horse. So now, look at what God has done. He's got Haman, who hates Mordecai, putting the crown on Mordecai, wearing the king's robe and riding the king's horse going through. This is what happens when the king wants to honor anybody in the kingdom. And he's the one leading the horse. He is so embarrassed. He cannot take it. Now notice, if you would, in the outline. Roman number 3. We're going to pause there. You got to come back next week to hear the rest of the story, okay? We must be careful not to get caught up in God's blessings to us. What don't you understand? Mordecai is about ready to be slain. But God is working in his defense, but he doesn't know it. Mordecai is that far from death, but he doesn't know it. But God has placed Esther there to protect Mordecai by putting his name in the records that he protected the king. And he needed one more night to get the king up at night, not let him sleep, so he could hear about the Chronicles and hear about how to honor Mordecai. Now, notice, if you would, in the outline, Haman got caught up with the promotion that God allowed him to have. Remember, If you can put this note in your Bible, in your outline, Psalm 75, 6 and 7. For promotion cometh neither from the east or the west, or the north or the south, but God lifteth up and putteth down. And it doesn't say Christians only. God is the author of promotions. He has a plan. And sometimes he promotes the wicked. Apparently, he promoted Ahasuerus to protect the Jewish nation because he would fall in love with Esther. God has all of it put together. And when we get to heaven, we're going to be able to look underneath and see the blessing of God in all of our lives. And we'll say, I didn't know you were doing that for me. I didn't know you did that for me. I didn't know that's why I got the raise at the company. I didn't know that's why you let me have my own company. I didn't know that's why, Lord. So notice what happens. A, God expects all men to give him the credit. Saved or lost, he doesn't expect us to take the credit. Have you ever heard he pulled himself up by his bootstraps? Ever heard of that? Anybody ever heard that little statement? He pulled him up by his bootstraps. Have you ever tried to do that? Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You can't be done. And you and I don't lift ourselves up. The Lord does that. The lesson to learn is, learn that God is the one that lifts us up. He's the one that gives us every good and perfect gift. Let's give him credit. Notice, B, as friends, we should always tell the truth to our friends. A true friend will encourage us to do what's right. And I've given you two verses there. Listen to this verse. I want you to hear it. Proverbs 27, 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Learn that if you're somebody's friend, you always tell them the truth. Now you do it in the right way. Colossians 4, 6 says, every word should be with grace. So tonight, two lessons to learn. Always speak with grace to your friends, but always be honest with them to try to help them be more like Christ. That's what a good friend is. Iron sharpeneth iron. Be a blessing to your friends. But always remember this. Every good gift that you've gotten is from him. If you've gotten a good husband, a good wife, from him. Got a good job, from him. I don't know how many of you walked into this room on your own two feet. That's from him. My wife couldn't do that the last 8 years of life. And God used her in a wheelchair to really touch a lot of people's hearts. She touched my heart because she kept the same spirit as when she could walk and gave him the glory. So tonight, let's give the Lord the glory for all that he's done for us. Maybe tonight you take a little bit of time and say, Lord, I realize you've done this for me. Take a few minutes, count your blessings, and thank him. Let's bow our heads for a prayer tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. If you need to come tonight, kneel at this altar. Talk with the Lord. If you need to trust Christ as Savior, you say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm going to heaven tonight. Come to me. I'll take my Bible and show you how you can know for sure before you leave here tonight that it's all settled. Father, speak to hearts tonight as only you can. In your name we pray.